I'm going to request Leslie here to introduce herself and then request Mike to say a few words about Pascal and then start the conversation.
Hello everybody, I'm Leslie. I work as the Deputy Director of Pascal, as Mike says, in Glasgow. And I've been involved in doing some writing around community engagement. And I'm working with Amina as well as her supervisor on her PhD on community engagement. So as well as that, we've got another project going called PUMA, which is Pascal Universities for a Modern Renaissance. And it's looking at the same issues, really, but from the university, very specifically from the university end and what the university is doing to engage itself in its environment, the region, local communities. And that's a project that's really just started to get going now, but we have hopes for it to move on further. So that's the main points, anyway. Thank you.
Hi, it's Mike Osborne. I won't add too much to what Leslie has said. Pascal, in various ways, has been involving itself in looking at the relationship between universities and their regions. You've heard some acronyms. You may not have understood them all, but there are two main projects. The PURE project, Pascal Universities for Regional Engagement, which we've been involved in 17 different regions around the world, and are coming towards the end, and there are synthesis reports, all of which can be read on our site. And as Leslie says, we're now focusing on individual universities, looking at ways of helping them to improve their engagement with communities. I can see again that we have our colleagues from GUNY with us by video at last. So I don't know if they would like to have an opportunity just to say hello through the video conference system. But I'll put you on the spot and ask you to say something. So, Christina, can you hear us? I just wondered if you'd like to just say a sentence by introduction through this medium.
Hello?
Yes, we can.
Could you listen to us?
We can hear you.
Excellent. Yeah, good.
Okay, wonderful.
Es perfecto.
Gracias.
De nada. So, but we won't continue the conversation in Spanish, I think, because there's not enough of us. But Leslie told me.
No problema.
Leslie told me she understood every word. Okay. Well, let me say we're now going to continue with the substantive discussions for this afternoon. We've now got about an hour and 20 minutes left, and our proposal is that we spend 20 minutes or so. On the first two questions that were originally posed and which we had some responses to and which formed the draft communique that you all have. And what we hope through the course of the afternoon's discussion is that we can refine that to a final communique. Just in terms of the ground rules for our discussions, I think what we will do is just ask you one by one to make a comment in relation to each of the first two questions, and I will organise that for the first question and call you in one by one. Particularly given that some people don't have any visual clues, it's very important that you wait to be called in, and then after we've dealt with the first question, Rajesh will move on and facilitate discussions around the second question, and then we'll have a complete free-for-all with some sort of management from our end of that discussion. Leslie has agreed to take some notes around the responses from the first question, and John has agreed to take some notes around responses from the second question, and together we will assemble, after the end of this meeting, a refined and final communique through agreement between all of us. And I'm sure Bud will be taking copious notes, knowing Bud at his end as well. So now just let me remind you, going back, what we asked you to do before this meeting was imagine that we're writing the World Report on Higher Education, Knowledge and Engagement for the year 2030. What are some of the key achievements that have been made by our post-secondary institutions and communities working together? So that was the question we posed in advance. Some of you gave us some responses which you might now like to develop. Some of you haven't yet had the opportunity to respond and might like to send your responses to us now. I think I'll start then with not to put you on the spot, but Susan from Talwa. Would you like to make some comments around that particular question? Imagining the year 2030 and our achievements.
Thanks very much. The paper did a good job of imagining what some of the accomplishments of universities might be, but I think fundamentally the most important thing is for this kind of activity to be seen, to be a much more common and universal kind of activity on the part of faculty. I worry less about student interest because my experience just now has been that the student interest is always strong in this kind of work. And really it's fundamentally about changing the incentives and the structures of the academic, the faculty side of things. So that's changing slowly, at least in the United States. I mean, I think one can see over the last 25 years some fairly significant changes. But it's a slow process, and perhaps by 2030 it will be much more common and universal activity than it currently is, given the international standards by which faculty are judged and their disciplines are organized. I mean, that's going to be very slow work to change that. I think we'll have the greatest impact our collective work going forward.
Thank you, Susan. Can we move on to Liam? Can I ask Liam to make a response?
Yes, thank you. It's a fascinating question, I think, and a fascinating way to phrase it, is to pick a point in the future and imagine what we're reflecting upon as successes, because it really helps to hone the way in which you think, well, if that's what we want to have happen, what do we need to do? Certainly from our point of view, I think this is probably something that everybody agrees, and it is a challenge. We've seen it happen here in the UK over the past 10 years, the way that research assessment has changed, because there's a constant sense of they want to be able to support universities, funding councils, and whatnot, based upon measurable output. And the way in which research is measured, there isn't a perfectly clear consensus as to how you do that well. There's even less consensus on how you measure community engagement well. And I think it would be fantastic if in 20 years' time there was a way in which people working in universities felt confident that when they went out and really pursued community engagement activity, that it was able to be valued by the university, and the institution was able to support that kind of work without being, in a way, more focused on meeting certain targets that have been associated with the research assessment exercise of some kind. So I think really mainstreaming that kind of activity and making sure that institutions can incorporate it into all facets of academic work, I think would be very important. A second thing that we would like to see, we've begun to see in the last few years, which has been very beneficial, is the role of international development donor agencies engaging with higher education, seeing higher education as actually a really important engine of development in countries around the world, whereas I think in that period up until about the year 2000, higher education was perhaps seen as a bit more of a luxury, and that there were other areas that needed to be focused on. But of course it's the doctors and the teachers and the nurses and the engineers and all kinds of skilled people coming out of universities in the developing world that are going to make sure that they're building towards a better future themselves. And so there's been a lot of ways in which we've seen, whether it's national funding bodies or the World Bank or the European Commission, funding work that puts universities into touch with development organizations and gives them sort of a project they can apply for that address Millennium Development Goals and whatnot. And I think this has been very important because it does bring research towards what the local needs of the community are. What I think we would like to see happen more is for universities to be empowered by these same funding bodies to actually do the community engagement, because there's two things going on. There's research dissemination, research communication, research that's focused on development. But separately, what we haven't seen, I think, from the big development bodies as much yet is a recognition that the community itself has to be a part of forming the research agenda and how a university develops its own development-orientated research. Shouldn't come from funding bodies that have their own criteria, but perhaps should come from gathering what the local needs are. And so I think perhaps engaging with funding bodies with that kind of approach in time could lead to more effective research and community engagement. So we see trends in that direction, but I hope that in 20 years we'll have seen them develop.
Okay, thank you, Liam. Can we move across the Atlantic now and back to Pepe and ask for responses from Bolivia?
Hello. Well, we've been considering the question, and the main issue we see here is that the matter has been considered from the point of view of young people, of the students in universities, trying to solve their own problems and to fulfill their needs. But here at Seban, we believe the problem is deeper than that, because people who actually look for higher education, they're being massively educated and put in a market where there's no full form of, there's no way to fulfill their expectations. There's no way to have them work according.
I think we've just been unlucky there that just at the key climatic point, we've lost our colleagues in Bolivia. So we'll come back to them shortly. Can I ask Norbert if he'd like to say something at this point?
Yes, thank you. It's a really interesting question, looking a couple of years into the future and what should be achieved by then. And I think from our point of view, from the Living Knowledge Network, the Science Shop Network, major achievement should be that community engagement should be widely acknowledged by then, that the co-creation of knowledge with NGOs, with civil society and organizations, with indigenous people, indigenous knowledge should be accepted and acknowledged as a serious source for knowledge creation. And in this context, of course, we would like to see universities having a strong community demand-driven approach in their outreach or in their work. And from that, and this is what we also have said on our agenda, is try to get civil societies and universities together and help them or give them the capability to set shared research agendas, so that research agendas can be set by civil society organizations and research institutes together. Thank you.
Thank you, Norbert. Perhaps this would be a good time now for Henk to come in and ask if he'd like to add to what Norbert has just said.
Yeah, well, I strongly agree with the things that Susan and especially also Liam were telling. So for me, in 2013, slip of the tongue, engagement should not be an add-on, but it should be integrated in the research and teaching of universities. And it should also be a bit more upstream, so don't communicate the research when it's done, but start communicating before you start it. And I think research groups as such should not exist as we have them now, but it should be like learning networks. They should work together with all kinds of stakeholders. And you see some examples already, for instance, in Cambridge, they set up a conservation research group in which both government bodies and NGOs are working alongside the researchers. So that's, I think that's part of the future. So I have a learning network instead of a research group, as we now call it. And as Norbert has already started the discussion, we are very much trying to create joint agenda setting for research between NGOs, civil society, and researchers. And in our project, we've piloted it a few times now in face-to-face meetings with between researchers, NGOs, and students. And we really were able to steer the discussion to articulating follow-up research questions. So we sat down, we discussed the state of things in a certain scientific discipline, and we managed to find new research questions that were of all our interest. So that's an example of joint research setting. In our project, we will now try to do this online as well, and we'll try a first round in November, and we'll post information on that on the Living Knowledge List server. So that's the two things I see in the future. So engagement is integrated, and we have joint agenda setting. And of course, then we need the funders as well, as Liam pointed out.
Thank you very much, Hank. Okay, then let's go over to Christina and Guni. And I'm sorry, we haven't been introduced to your colleague, I think.
Hi, how are you? I'm Jesus from Guni.
Hi, Jesus.
Jesus Hernados. Thank you, Christina.
Do go ahead.
Okay. For the first question, we have ideas in different scale, like this. We started with building knowledge, so we think we must build knowledge together according to social needs, and we have called it like just in time knowledge. So, and we think this kind of knowledge be used by politicians and policymakers when determining their policies and strategies. A second issue is the creation of the intelligent society, and we see in 2030 society as knowledge society. This means that we have passed from intelligent individuals to intelligent society as a whole unit. And this intelligence permits us to make common decisions for the future. Okay, a third topic will be the partnership. We prefer to call it this way instead of community and university engagement, because in this way we give the same relevance to community and to university. The idea that is important is the multi-level community and university engagement. And to increase the social conscience. So let's give more agency to people and society as a group, and then making a simpler creation and transformation of the structures possible. About higher education institutions, we think they have to become cosmopolitan centers of social everyone. And then the last idea is the creation of the self. So we must participate in the learning of the it's how to learn to live together for the common good, and it's about learning how to be integrating all the human aspects. And well, for the first question. These are our main contributions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jesus. Can we now move back across the Atlantic again and ask Leslie and Bud if they would like to say something?
Thanks everyone for their contributions, and the document here is great, so I won't repeat things. I'll just try and add a little bit from my perspective. I guess there are a couple things I'd like to see if I was dreaming about the year 2030, and that would be that there would be a value of all ways of knowing and being, so we could start to break down what kind of knowledge counts in the world and what kind of knowledge doesn't count in the world. And that universities see themselves as a facilitator of knowledge production and transfer. So again, break down the hierarchy between community and universities of who actually is in charge, who's in the middle of this. We're trying to be more inclusive and bring communities into the university and take universities out to community. But I'd like to see a breakdown of that notion that universities still see themselves at the center of that, coordinating it all. I think it's a joint thing. I would like to see in the communities that I work in Indigenous communities, that the word research is not seen as a tool of oppression, but actually something that can be helpful to communities. And I guess one of the things that was, I was reading this document, that is a bit worrisome to me, is the idea of open source knowledge. In my work with Indigenous peoples, their data has been stolen and taken and used against them. So I think we need to think carefully, complicate the idea of open source to data and to knowledge as to who we, in mainstream Western thinking, we can think open, but if you're coming from a marginalized place, that may not be the same feeling towards an openness towards data and knowledge. And I guess one of the things, if I was thinking about the year 2030, that I would like to see is that research dollars flow just as often to community as they do to the university. Too often resources, funding, flows to the university, which puts universities in the power position of reaching out to community. And I'd like to see it flow the other way around, where we at universities are in service to community. That's me. Bud?
No, I'm okay for now.
Thanks very much, Leslie. And and now back to David.
Hi, thank you. It's very difficult to add to that, so I definitely won't repeat what you've been saying. I mean, from me listening to you all, and I agree with, you know, pretty much of what's been said, it's been around networks, agendas, structures and hierarchies and how those can become more distributed. The only thing that I would add that's in my own personal vision of 2030, essentially I think a lot of what we're talking about here is around the distribution of expertise and knowledge. And I see in 2030 a broader range of partners would have the capacity to engage in this conversation, and that if we... You know, if we're successful in those things that we've talked about just previously, that anyone could come and pick up the phone and join in this conversation and would understand what we're talking about and would be able to contribute to it. So that would be, you know, my sense. I could walk out onto the street of Bristol and drag someone in at random and he would understand the language that we were using and what we were talking about.
Since I come from the West Country, whether we would understand them or not is another matter. But thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, David. I think Rajesh would like to say a few words now, but I just want to double check that there isn't somebody on the telephone who's not yet spoken. No. So, okay, everybody online has spoken, yes? You don't need to answer that. Over to Rajesh.
Well, thanks. This conversation has been very stimulating. I have two, three dreams around 2030, which I want to articulate in the line that several of you have already mentioned. One is that in 2030, there will be a globally accepted ranking system for institutions of higher education, which prioritizes mutually beneficial community engagement. and that lists University of Glasgow and University of Victoria and the Living Knowledge Network and PRIA as in the top 10. The second is that social audit of institutions of higher education, where a combination of agenda setting for research and teaching, as well as a multi-stakeholder feedback from communities, from other stakeholders, will become a normal practice of universities around the world. And thirdly, that new forms of community knowledge institutions would emerge, which will be partners or co-partners, something in the vein that Leslie was just describing. I think there is a need to imagine or dream about some new, like you could have an indigenous knowledge center, which is a deemed university, but is imbibed by the expertise and the value base of indigenous knowledge. Those would become a reality in 2030.
Thank you, Rajesh. I think we'll draw this part of the discussion to an end. Leslie, here in Glasgow, has been assiduously taking notes, and I'm not going to put her absolutely on the spot now, but over the next 20 minutes, whilst we're having discussions around the next question, I'll suggest to her that she tries to pick out three bullet points of main issues which have emerged for feedback to stimulate the final part of our discussions. But thank you very much for your responses so far, which have been very, very good. I'm sorry that we've lost Pepe and Manuel in Bolivia. They periodically come and go, and let's hope that we see them again before the end of this discussion. Okay, I'll draw a line under that part of the discussion and